Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. There are many things I like about getting older. One of my favorites is that it's so much easier to admit that I'm wrong, to admit that I made a mistake. And looking back over the many things, particularly in animal behavior and the human-animal bond where I got it wrong, I was recently thinking about the three most common fallacies that I bought into and then did a complete reversal about as I became older and wiser and more experienced. The first of these has to do with sociability. When I was younger, I bought into the idea that, for example, cats were solitary and dogs are social creatures. In fact, dogs and cats, like us, possess the potential to be one or the other or both. And while we may incline to one orientation under specific circumstances, under other circumstances we may display the opposite behavior. If we put a cat in a woodland environment, and it will probably be a solitary, more nocturnal predator, because that's the way their physiology evolved. But put them around a reliable food supply, such as in a dump, or in the average household with a reliable food supply, they may be more social. Interestingly, although they may form very complex social structures, if they're around reliable food supplies, such as a dump, they may not feel the same way about being around that reliable food supply in our homes. In our homes, they don't need the other animals for protection. So at home, they might go either way. But the bottom line is that though from an evolutionary standpoint they're solitary, they can also be social. But similarly, dogs can be solitary or semi-solitary too. The dog might not want to be with us. The dog might just want to sleep. And the dog might be more than happy if we took a hike, literally, and left him at home. And so it is. There are times when dogs prefer their solitude, just as there are times when some people prefer their solitude. And this varies from dog to dog, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly normal. So that's one of the fallacies that I was glad to see bite the dust as I became more experienced and learned more and more about animal behavior. Another fallacy that bit the dust was this idea that animals would do anything for food. I grew up when our society was making the transition from punishment training to reward training. We were embedded in behaviorism as the only viable teaching method then. If we didn't use punishment, then we had to use reward. And food was the easiest reward. And because it was the easiest reward, we rationalized it and convinced ourselves that animals would do anything for food, and that this was therefore a positive way to teach them what we wanted them to learn. As it turns out, that's not necessarily the case. And though I know it might upset some people to hear me say this, I've reached a point where I think that food training has probably been responsible for the death of as many animals as punishment ever was. And when I say that, I'm not only referring to those animals who I believe, along with their owners, have become addicted to eating food and giving food for strictly emotional reasons. I'm also talking about the animals that have been systematically taught that food is something other than nourishment, who then eat and eat, even though it makes them feel physically miserable. They have been conditioned to want it no matter what. But when I think about the fallacies that have fallen, I think the greatest The greatest concept that we've gotten wrong is a kind of play on words that has shown up time and time again, as if on some subconscious level we've been aware of this, but we were too frightened to deal with it. And that is the seeming joke that dog is God spelled backwards. I've realized over the years, and I started out this way certainly as a young child, and I kept this up until probably maybe into my early 30s. Even though I never would have said that I elevated my dog to a god, I did expect my dog to function as my protector, my emotional protector. It was the dog's job to do that, to keep me safe from all harm and danger in body, mind, and spirit. In other words, I wanted that dog to act like a god. And most certainly, in this area, probably above all others, I got it backwards.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.